True. I count it a real joy and a great blessing for this wonderful privilege to be able to rejoice in the things of the Lord and enjoy these good songs and be able to fellowship with God's people. Here you go, preacher. Thank you. Whittled that down size, didn't it? Good to be saved. Amen. Yeah. Good to know beyond the shadow of a doubt where you're going when you leave this world. Amen. Amen. Appreciate all the good singing, the good preaching. I'm glad for the good songs about the blood. Amen. About the Savior that went to Calvary and bled and died for our sin. And then He got up on the third day. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You look in your Bible now, the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. And we'll read verse number 20. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 20. Where the Bible said, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep." Our Father God, we thank You for the wonderful blessing to be able to open the Word of God and look into the things of the Lord. We ask You now to bless the reading of the Scripture. Bless each heart. God, meet every spiritual need here tonight. Touch Your unworthy servant. Give me that I need to preach, and we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. But now is Christ risen. Oh, the glory of our Redeemer, of our risen Redeemer. Amen. John said the world could not hold the books that could be written about Him. The story can never be fully told. Without the resurrection, we'd have no gospel message. Amen. No reason to preach. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you." And he went on to give the definition of the gospel in those verses, verse 3 and 4. He said, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He arose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Thank God we've got a gospel message to preach in these last days. Our Lord raised Lazarus from the dead, and he came forth. Lazarus came forth from the tomb with the grave clothes. He would need them again. But when our Savior came forth from the tomb, he left the grave clothes. He would never need them again. Hallelujah. All the glory of our risen Savior. Our text verse says, "But now is Christ risen." And I'd like to give you four things this evening that we have because He is risen. First, we have a reason for faith because He is risen. In verse number 14, the Bible said, "And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain." Paul said, "And if Christ be not risen, then what we're believing is vain." If we didn't have a risen Savior, we'd have no reason to put faith in Him. What good would it do? What good would it have done to put faith in one who was dead and locked in a tomb? Amen. Hallelujah. He wouldn't stay dead. Amen. The cold, icy grip of death, brother, had slipped around him. But when that resurrection power started moving in that tomb, the grip that death had on him began to slip. Amen. The cold darkness of the tomb became illuminated with the brightness of life. The life that had been freely laid down there on Calvary's dark hill was being taken up again. Hallelujah. And we got a reason to put faith in Him. He conquered the tomb. Amen. I read about this fellow who was touring an art museum one time, and he stood and looked for a long time at a painting that was supposedly depicting Jesus on the cross, and the soldiers standing by, and a little boy stood behind the man And the little boy had learned about the crucifixion at Sunday school. And after a few minutes, the little boy said to him, he said, "Hey, mister," he said, that's Jesus on the cross there." And the man didn't answer. He just kept looking at the picture. And in a few minutes, the little boy said, "Hey, mister, them soldiers there, they killed him." The man didn't answer. He just kept standing there looking at that picture. And in a few minutes, the little boy said, "Hey, mister, them disciples there, they buried him." And the man turned and looked at the little fellow, and without a word, walked out the door and down the street. And he hadn't gone far down the street till he heard the sounds of little feet running behind him on the sidewalk. And when he turned, it was that same little boy. And when he caught up with him, he said, "Hey, mister," he said, "I forgot to tell you, he got up the third day." Hallelujah. Amen. When he arose, he completed the gospel message, neighbor. And we got a reason to put faith in him. The pyramids in Egypt are famous because in them are found the mummified bodies of the ancient rulers of Egypt. Westminster Abbey in London is famous because in it are the bodies of Tennyson and Browning and other English nobles. Arlington Cemetery is famous because in it it's the honored resting place of such famous men as Audie Murphy and John F. Kennedy and many others. Mount Vernon is famous because Washington's body is entombed there, and visitors come from all over the world to see these places because of what they contain. But I say the tomb of Jesus is famous tonight, not because of what it contains, but because of what it doesn't contain. Hallelujah. He got up from the dead. Amen. These tombs are famous because they're full. His tomb is famous because it's empty. Hallelujah. Amen. He's risen. We got a reason to put faith. Listen, you got to have faith in order to be saved. The Bible said, "For by grace are you saved through faith." Got to have faith to be saved. Paul says, "If no resurrection, no faith." We got to have faith to pray. Amen. Every saved person in this building, I can testify of how the Lord's answered your prayer at one time or another. Jesus said one time about praying, he said, "According to your faith, be it unto you." You got to have faith to be saved. You got to have faith to pray. You got to have faith to please God. Hebrews 11 verse 6 said, "But without faith it's impossible to please God." Amen. But if there's no resurrection, you can't be saved. You can't pray. You can't live for God. But I'm glad, hallelujah, we got a reason for faith. He lives. He lives. He got up from the dead. Amen. And the reason we can put faith in Him, because our faith rests upon that solid foundation that cannot be shaken. Amen. Can't be spoiled. They tell me in the Bible lands there's many great arches made of stone. And there's one called the Arch of the Triumph. And many gates and doors were made in the shape of an arch over there in that country. And they say there's one stone in an arch that is the most important. It's called the arch stone. And it's in a V shape. And it fits right in the middle of the bottom of that arch. And the weight of all the other stones rests upon that one. And if you wanted to tear down the arch, you don't have to put pressure on the top or dig around it. All you got to do is remove that arch stone and the others will come tumbling down. And I'll tell you, if the devil could prove that the Lord didn't get up from the dead, all of Christianity would crumble. Amen. But thank God the foundation's laid in Zion. It can't be destroyed. Hallelujah. We got a reason for faith. Amen. Hallelujah. He lives. We got a reason for faith. And then because of the resurrection, we got redemption for the fallen. If he didn't get up the third morning, there'd be no good news for sinners. A dead Christ can't save anybody. Thank God the price was paid at Calvary to save sinners. And the proof that He would save sinners was made that day when He arose from the grave. The old songwriter said, living He loved me, dying He saved me, buried He carried my sin far away, rising He justified freely forever, and one day He's coming. Oh, glorious day! I'm justified today because He arose. I'm counted innocent today because He arose. The eye of God was satisfied when He looked upon that sacrifice. He's satisfied. Amen. And the brother, I'm counted innocent. I'm not guilty anymore. The guilt has been removed. Amen. I get excited about that. Amen. Thank God He arose. He can lift men up out of their sins.
Amen.
And forgive and renew. And when an old hell-bound sinner like me come and put faith in the resurrected Lord, the blood that was shed on Calvary's Hill washes his old darkened soul and is redeemed, hallelujah, bought by the blood, amen, out of that slave market and set free. If he was still in the tomb today, he couldn't save. There'd be no justification. There'd be no sanctification. But not only are we delivered from the penalty of the law, we're delivered from the power of sin because He was raised for our justification. Action, amen. And the redeeming blood. Listen, there's resurrection power. And the redeemed of Adam's race can shout the victory tonight. Because the tomb's empty. And the throne of glory is occupied by the risen Son of God, who promised to save to the uttermost all them that would come unto Him. I'll tell you, sin had made slaves out of Adam's race. Sin had bankrupted the world. But hallelujah, listen, God sent His beloved Son, His only Son, full of grace and truth, and in love for our souls. He went yonder to dark Calvary, and in love for our souls, He poured out His soul in offering, and in love for our soul, He gave Himself to the death, even the death of the cross. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, and they went up on Calvary's Hill and pulled the nails out of His hands and out of His feet, and they wrapped Him in that linen and that burial cloth, and they placed Him in Joseph's tomb. But on that third day, hallelujah, there was standing one there in shining strands of glory, and He had the keys around His waist. Amen. And He said, I was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. Amen. He got up from the dead and kicked the walls out of the grave, and He came forth. Amen. Hallelujah. He arose. Because of the resurrection, there's redemption for the fallen. That night I came to Jesus, little old hell-bound sinner boy. I went to church that night with my wife. We'd only been married a few months. And the preacher preached that night, and I went forward. The preacher asked me if I believe that Jesus died and rose again. And I said, yes, sir, I sure do. He said, that's all there are to it. Just stand up and tell everybody.
Amen.
My wife was kneeled there beside me, and she said, don't you move till God saves you. You stay right there till Jesus saves you. Amen. Son, I tell you what, I called out to God. The Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I told that. I told God, I said, that preacher said I was going to hell, and I believe him. I don't want to go to hell. I said, Lord, if I go to hell, I'll go trusting in the blood of Jesus.
Yeah, right.
About that time, about 2 acres of heaven come right down in here.
Yeah.
Amen. I knew I was saved, son. Yeah, glory to God. I came down the aisle, a lost, hell-bound sinner. I went back to my seat saved. Amen. The risen Savior. He arose that redemption might come to the fallen. And then because of the resurrection, there will be a reunion of family and friends. Paul told the Corinthian church in verse 18, he said, they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished if there be no resurrection. The saints would never see their loved ones again who had died in the faith. And what a heartbreaking thought that is, neighbor. No glad reunion day. Paul said, if that be the case, then we're all most miserable, amen. We all know what it's like to stand by that gaping hole in the ground and go back home and see that empty seat or that empty cradle, that empty chair, and our hearts break as we remember the touch of their hand and the joy of their laughter. But I'll tell you, there'd be no hope if Jesus hadn't arose from the grave. But hallelujah, we hear the cry of the apostle that break through the gloom and despair. He said, but now is Christ risen from the dead and became the first fruits of them that sleep. When the first fruits appear, neighbor, we know the harvest is soon to follow. Amen. Because of the resurrection, we can look beyond the tomb, beyond the sunset of life's brief day, to a meeting place in God's glad tomorrow, where friendships will be renewed, where family circles will be complete. Oh, what a day that'll be, neighbor, when we stand there in Him. They'll come from the east and the west and sit down in God's new heaven together forever. Now, Paul had started the church in Thessalonica on one of his missionary journeys. And Paul had preached unto them that if they would repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would have everlasting life and live forever. Then Paul had went away, and some of them believers had died. They had fallen asleep physically. And they sent word to Paul and said, now, we don't understand. You told us that if we'd accept Jesus, we'd live forever. And he sent back that letter to the Thessalonians. And he told him, he said, now I don't want you to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant about those that have fallen asleep. He said, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, amen, and with the voice of the archangel, and the those that have died in the Lord will be raised up, amen, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And then he said, comfort one another with these words. Oh, what a comfort that is. To know that the grave's not the end.
Amen.
There's coming very soon that reunion day with family and friends that have outstripped us and gone on. Down through the years, I've went to the cemetery many, many times. As a pastor, I've made, Lord, how many trips I've made to the funeral home. And stood there beside broken-hearted mamas or daddies, brothers and sisters. And followed behind that hearse to the cemetery. 18 years ago, I took my daddy out yonder on the side of a hill in North Georgia. And laid to rest the body, the remains of my daddy. I'll tell you, there's a coming of reunion day soon. And that might not mean much to some folks that ain't made that many trips to the cemetery, but I'll tell you, that means something to this preacher. And That'll be a happy meeting place. Amen. Beyond the river. Amen. Because he arose, neighbor. There'll be a reunion of family and friends. Yonder in the clouds. And what a blessing. But then something else. Because of the resurrection, there will be rejoicing in the future. We are not, of all men, most miserable this evening. The future holds no dread for the saved of God. Somebody asked me, said, what do you think about YK2? I said, he's that wrestler that wears that mask, ain't he? I don't know nothing about computers. I have trouble with a touch-tone phone. Eh? Amen. And I'm happy about it. Don't feel sorry for me. I'm happy about that. Yeah. Glory to God. I ain't never had one crash on me. Never. Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, only thing I'm looking for is getting out of here. Amen.
Amen.
With joy unspeakable and full of glory,
amen,
we wait for that blessed hope the preacher spoke of this morning when it comes for the saints of God and the first fruits has been raised. And afterward, we who are His, all the glory of that rising, amen. Because I live, He said, ye shall also live. Death will be swallowed up in victory. We may not know all that the future holds as far as the events and the things that are coming upon this world. And listen, we may not understand what all's going on with the world leaders and all that. But we do know, brother, as children of God, there's a rejoicing coming just ahead. We look around this world, and it's marching to Armageddon as fast as it can go. And it seems like this old world's gone sin crazy. But in the midst of all that, we can hear the Savior say, lift up your head. Your redemption wrought now. The redemption of our bodies. Our soul has already been redeemed. And these bodies are about to be redeemed.
Talk about a rejoicing when we drop this robe of flesh and rise to seize the everlasting prize. You talk about a joy. Paul said, we know that if this earthly house or this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Going to be a quick change. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we'll be changed from this tabernacle, this tent, to a house. Won't that be a rejoicing time to leave this old tent behind? I'm weary of this old body. I'm a lot older than I look. These glasses are aggravating the far out of me. One of them's digging in right there. I'd just like to stomp them right here, but if I did, I couldn't finish this thing. I'm weary of this old body, but I got a new one awaiting, son.
Amen.
This tent, amen. With each passing day, these old bodies are falling apart. A disease is taking its toil on me. Our eyes fail. Our hearts fail. We're dying by degrees. Amen. I read somewhere, well, you know, these people like Brother Hammond, it's on his carrot juice and all that stuff, you know, carrot juice and all that health stuff. I read somewhere where they live 3 months longer than we do. Yeah, we do everything. We sing about what a day that'll be, you know, and wanting to get out of here, and then boy, we're grabbing up everything we can to stay here as long as we can. Amen. Lord help us. It'll be a building of God. A house not made with hands. A heavenly body fitted for our new environment. Amen. As we have borne the image of the earthly, recognizing and being recognized of each other. So shall we bear the image of the heavenly. We'll know as we are known. Somebody said, reckon we'll know one another in heaven. I said, I believe we'll have more sense when we get there than we got now. I believe we'll know. Paul used this illustration of the stars here in this chapter to teach us that there will be differences in glory in our new bodies. We ain't going to be exact replicas of one another. I don't believe that. He said one star differeth from another star in glory, so also in the resurrection of the dead. As Paul, who finished his course with joy, will surely shine brighter than a Demas who forsook the way of Christ. Amen? Our bodies won't waste away because there won't be any decay there. There won't be any need for relations to reproduce the race because there'll be no death there. And we'll stand complete in eternal life, hallelujah, that we shall be forever with our Lord in a body incorruptible and glorious and powerful and heavenly and eternal. Amen.
Amen.
It's what we're waiting for. It's what we're groaning for. I groan for that every morning when I get up. Reach for that barley green and groan. Amen. Rejoicing forever. But now is Christ risen from the dead, the first said. And because He arose, we have a reason for faith. We have redemption for the fallen. We have rejoicing in the future. Forever adoring and worshiping and praising and rejoicing our lovely Savior. It's going to be a resurrection for the lost too, neighbor. Jesus said in John 5:28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I'm glad I'm not going to take part in that resurrection of damnation. He said in Revelation 20 and verse 5, but the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, on such the second death hath no power. If you're not saved, you'll stand before Him one day and you'll hear that awful sentence, depart from me. You know, it would be unthinkable to keep the living and the dead together. The dead have to be separated from the living. That's why we have cemeteries. And God's got one. And in that lake of fire, you know, the death most people fear most is either burning to death or drowning. But in that second death, they'll experience both forever. I'm glad I'm not going to be in that. That was settled many years ago. Let me plead with you tonight as I close and the pastor's coming. Don't live a wasted life and then die and go to hell forever. Trust the one who conquered the tomb. Trust the one who loves you, the one who will save you now. If you're away from God, come back to God tonight. Get forgiveness. Get cleansed. Get restored. I know that resurrection day for the redeemed is just ahead. Time is running out. As Brother Gibbs said this morning, we don't know how much longer we got here. But we know it can't be wrong. God's speaking in your heart tonight. Trust the one who can take care of you here and give you a home over yonder. Pastor. 200.